all this week on John Akers at Breakfast. We are taking you behind the scenes at a wonderful local charity called the Barn Owl Trust, which was set up near Ashburton in the 80s by a husband and wife team with the idea to protect the owls, the barn owls, and their habitat. It's grown into such a lot more than that, though. Doing a lot for conservation in general, employing 20 people full-time and part-time with a new office facility there and lots of different species of owl, actually. Yesterday, I spoke to one of the founders, David Ramsden, MBE. Today, we're going to hear from Mateo Ruiz, who has a very posh title. He's their Senior Conservation and Science Officer.
Day two, then, in the beautiful Ashburn Valley. You can probably hear the River Ashburn in the background, and I'm under a canopy of green, just these lovely mature trees all around us with the vine creeping up them. And there is a bit of a pungent smell in the air where I am right now, because I'm right by one of the enclosures for the tawny owls. The barn owls away to my right-hand side as well. And I'm with someone you might well recognise, his voice anyway, Mateo from the Barn Owl Trust, who I spoke to not long ago. Hello, good to see you again.
Hello, John. Good morning.
You've got a great story. Before we get into what you do here, you've got a great story of having come here as a boy and then gone away and come back again. Tell us a little bit about you for those who didn't hear it last time.
Oh, well, that's right. So I was growing up in the Teen Valley, so not far from here, and the Barn Owl Trust came into our area looking for places to release barn owls into the wild as a way to boost the wild population. And my family had a place that was suitable. So the trust installed some owls in the barn, and then we gradually went through the reintroduction procedure carefully to get them established. And over the 3 years, a number of owlets went out. We got a couple of ring returns. So those were the ring numbers from the owlets that reported back from the BTO to show that they'd dispersed away from where they hatched. But that was quite a while ago now. I've been working for the Trust for 6 years. And in the intervening years, I've been working in conservation and biology research.
So you went away to where? Where did you go in between?
Well, I did a degree in...
Sorry, I'm being attacked by a wasp.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's shoo that one away. I did a degree in environmental biology in
You're
Bath.
Being attacked now.
Oh, I was just going to keep
move
really
Shall we move
yeah.
somewhere
yeah,
else?
Yeah, we could come up here, look.
Okay, let's go into this. Yeah. We're in the shed now. Yeah. Right, okay, away from the wasps.
Yeah.
You went to Bath.
Yeah, I did environmental biology at Bath Spa University College. And then I was a fundraiser for the Charitable Trust for Friends of the Earth for a couple of years in Bath. And then I moved to Mexico and became involved in an ecotourism project there in mangroves, focused mainly on mangrove reforestation.
Wow.
And provided tours for bird watchers. And then I became involved in research into the bird life of the coastal lagoon. So I did a master's in marine ecology and a doctoral study in sustainability and science.
Wow, that must have been beautiful there, doing the lagoons, was it? I bet that was stunning, was it?
Absolutely, yeah, they're wonderful landscapes, real wilderness landscapes, and the local community where I was living and working was really committed to protecting their area. So it's fantastic to see how they managed to preserve the landscape there.
Devon always calls us back though, Mateo, doesn't it? It calls to us.
This is true. And I moved back to the UK about 7 years ago now. And it's been absolutely lovely to be back here. And the changing seasons are just magical. So now it's all leafy with the maple tree out there. Mm. But there's something beautiful about the autumn when those leaves turn red. And I really enjoy the kind of rugged winter scene as well.
Do you really? Oh, gosh, that's the only bit I sometimes struggle with. But we don't get it too badly here down in Devon, do we?
Not at all.
Where are you going to take me now? Because there's the tawny owls opposite and they're beautiful. Mm. And obviously the barn owls as well. Where should we go?
Well, I wanted to just stop by in here because this is where we can see the equipment that we're using in our day-to-day practical conservation work. So at this time of year, we are visiting our annual monitoring sites. Those are sites that we go back to every year in order to get an idea of the breeding success of the barn owls. It involves working under a license issued by English Nature, because they are a Schedule 1 listed species, and checking how many young are in there, if there are any young. So we have yes or no, they're there. occupancy and brood size, how many young are in the brood. And those parameters are gathered every year from the same sites to give us an idea of how the population's going up and down. This rope equipment is all necessary for being safe while working at height. Yeah. It's more essential in the winter. If you look on this side, you can see some of our nest boxes that will be ready to go up.
These are the ones that are built. Yeah,
we put them up in the winter when there's no risk of disturbing the owls while they're breeding. And with a heavy box like that, it's important to have the right working at height gear, and we're trained to hoist them up and to be protected ourselves. And it's great fun. You go out into all different locations around Devon, meet the people who would like to have a box.
Are there different owls that like different kinds of box in different places? It's a stupid question, but you got a barn owl, called a barn owl because I guess they used to go into old barns in farmhouses.
That's right. Yes. I mean, the position of the box is one factor, but also the design of the box. And that's really important because the design needs to ensure the owls are safe. So a nice deep design here is essential. This is a box for a barn owl, and it's 45 centimetres deep from the entrance hole. Some people think, oh, how do they get out? Well, they'll get out when they're ready. And if they get out before that, they risk falling to the ground, as we chatted about last time.
So that lip has to be tall enough so that you know that once they can climb that lip, they're going to be all right to survive.
Exactly, yeah. That's right, John. But if you look at this one here, this is a tawny owl box.
Okay.
So they have a smaller floor area because they leave the box at a younger age. They'll be in there about half the time. Now, that's not to say that they will never nest in the other one. I mean, there is actually a photo that someone sent me of I think it was three or even four young barn owls in there, but it was a bit of a squash. And tawny owl, which is a tawny owl box, and tawny owls will occasionally nest in a barn owl box as well.
Love that.
Yeah.
I love that. So these are the things that people will ask for, and it's really helping with the population, isn't it, all over the country?
That's
just having
right.
These.
Providing plenty of safe nest sites. It's also been a bit of a springboard for a recent research project, a nest box research project, where we're putting up 80 new boxes to match our 80 annual monitoring sites. And we want to look at the rate of uptake of those boxes to see how likely it is you'll have owls in the first year or the second year or the third year.
This is the doctor. This is the science guy in you that loves all this stuff, isn't it? This research that's so important.
Well, yes, we need to monitor the population to know if the conservation work that we're carrying out is working, how effective, which aspects we need to focus on to make it effective.
What is the data showing you?
Well, based on some of the results from our annual monitoring sites, taking the data from 2007 up to now, we have had an occupancy rate of more or less 50% of our boxes. The average is 51% of our boxes have been occupied. And recently, the last 3 years, we've had occupancy slightly above average. So that's more owls turning up to breed than average.
That's good news.
It is good news. And it might reflect a national picture, which is tentatively suggesting that the barn owl population has stopped declining after about 70 years of decline. If that decline had continued unchecked, we'd be looking at barn owls going extinct by 2050. Now, that seems very unlikely now, and that's really down to all the hard work by many barn owl conservation groups and many farmers and landowners who put a bit of habitat aside, put up a nest box, try to avoid using rodenticide, rat poison, and make changes and help wildlife.
Who am I going to be meeting, Matteo, next in my series here at the Barn Owl Trust?
Pip Laker. She is heading up our rehabilitation and sanctuary.
I look forward to tomorrow, to meeting Pip and finding out a bit more about this. My week here at the Barn Owl Trust in the beautiful Ashburn Valley with the River Ashburn just down below us. It is stunning up here as you climb, actually. You get some great views. So, the series continues tomorrow. Matteo, thanks so much.
Thank you ever so much, John. It's been a pleasure to talk to you.
Such a nice guy, Matteo. At the Barn Owl Trust, I'm there all this week speaking to different people who work there. Conservation work in Devon and further afield. It's John Akers at Breakfast, BBC Radio Devon. Hope you're doing well. I've got to tell you about an accident.